First, I want to thank the organizers for having me here. So it's always a pleasure to visit Santa Barbara. So I have a pretty general title, but I'll be mostly talking about theories related to two specific materials. So the first system is a three-dimensional spin-half Prussian magnet. This is a corner-shearing triangular structure. So experimentalists call it the hypercargomet lattice, in analogy to two-dimensional cargomet lattice, the sodium iridium oxide. So we have looked at the classical and quantum Heisenberg model on this lattice, and we have something to say about the experimental results. And the second system is related to Sung-Hun Lee's neutron scattering experiments on zinc paratacamite. This is two-dimensional spin-half magnet on the distorted cargomet lattice. So, you know, it has gotten a lot of attention very recently. And in some of the materials, it was found that there are narrow order state and the valence bond solid phases. So we have a theory for this. This is in preparation. So the names of people you want to remember is John Hopkinson, Sergei Isakov, Michael Oller, and Lars Fries. These are the junior members of the collaboration. These are the people who did actually the most important part of the work. Anyhow, so the sodium iridium oxide has the hypercargomet sublattice of iridium ion. So it turns out that iridium carries iridium 4+ is 5d5 configuration. This supposed to carry spin half moment. So if they are in a low spin state, and the local moments will be spin half. And it was found that from the X-ray scattering, all the iridium bonds are equivalent. And the way it works is as follows. So imagine that I start from a particle lattice. So I'm now only looking at the magnetic sites. If you have, say, iridium ions on three of the four sides of each tetrahedron, if one of the sites is occupied by sodium, and then you end up with a triangle per each tetrahedron, but the amazing thing is that these triangles are all connected, and this structure is okay. So this is a well-ordered structure. It's not a random dilution of the particle lattice. And so this is what happens in the unit cell. It's quite complicated. There are 12 sites and 24 bonds. So it's actually not a particularly good system for theorists, but at the end of the day, the reason why this material is interesting is as follows. They looked at the spin susceptibility, and they found that there's strong spin frustration in the sense that from the Curie Weiss fit, they discovered that Curie Weiss temperature is very big, it's 650 Kelvin, but there is no magnetic ordering down to, say, like 2 Kelvin. Okay? And so there's a large window of cooperative paramagnetic regime. You see that there's a linear in temperature regime well below 650 Kelvin. And secondly, if you look at the specific heat as a function of temperature, then they've discovered that, you know, if you look at the C by T gamma coefficient, it looks like it's almost going to zero, the low temperature limit. So there's, you know, again, there's no magnetic ordering, as presumably there are gapless excitations in this insulator, and maybe there's a very small gap. Also, the specific heat, it turns out the specific heat doesn't depend on magnetic field up to 12 Tesla. It's almost magnetic field independent. So the interesting question to ask is whether the T equals zero grounds, the quantum grounds, there is a spin liquid or not, or is there something else going on in the low temperature limit. So if you encounter a problem like this, then you want to know whether there is an obvious magnetic ordering you may expect on such a lattice. So one way to do this is to look at the, say, classical model and try to look at energetics. So whether in basically you are trying to see whether energetics selects in a particular ground state. So one convenient way of doing it is like looking at a so-called ON model. So it's a generalization of Heisenberg model, but it's a multi-component. It's just one way to justify your mean field theory. And if you go to a larger limit, this is like doing a mean field theory, then you find that the eigenvalue of the classical Hamiltonian is fourfold degenerate. The lowest eigenvalue is independent of wave vector. So what that means is that there is a macroscopic degeneracy. There is no particular wave vector that energetics chooses. And that is supposed to describe the physics in the cooperative paramagnetic regime. So the system is highly frustrated. So this is precisely what happens if you apply the same theory to two-dimensional Kagome lattice. Again, you end up with the lowest eigenvalue independent of a vector, and you end up with macroscopic degeneracy. So then the next question is whether entropy effect will select any particular ground state. So it turns out that there is indeed a thermal order by disorder effect. So one way to find it is to do a Monte Carlo simulation of the Heisenberg model on this lattice. And it turns out that there is a first order transition to a numeric order. So what I mean by numeric order is as follows. So imagine that, you know, notice that this lattice consists of corner-sharing triangles. So imagine that I take a one triangle, then you make these combinations, S1 cross S2, cross S2 cross S3, S3 cross S1, is some kind of chirality variable. And this is kind of numeric order parameter. And if you look at a combination of this corresponds to a numeric correlation function. So it basically measures the orientation of spin in different triangles. So if orientation of spin in different triangles are the same, then your correlation function basically approaches one. So in the ideal coplanar states, it turns out that this correlation function is one. In a non-coplanar state, this correlation function is supposed to be zero. And notice that in the high temperature, basically the correlation function is all, correlation function is some finite number, but it eventually approaches one in the low temperature limit, and there is a clear finite temperature force of transition, and there is a hysteresis seen in the numerics. So this is in contrast to what happens in the two-dimensional Kagome lattice. It turns out that if you look at the same correlation function in a 2D Kagome lattice, in the classical model, then you never get a long-range order because of the Mohmian-Bagrin theorem. So you always get a short-range numeric correlation, but the numeric correlation length diverges as you approach t equals zero. Okay? On the other hand, in this system, since this is a three-dimensional system, you do have a phase transition, and there is a force of the transition. And you know, you can also see a jump in the total energy or specific heat. And you know, the reason why numeric order is stabilized is mainly because coplanar structures have a lot of soft mode. So in fact, if you count all the possible soft mode of coplanar state, then you immediately discover that the classical specific heat has to be given by 11 by 12. And this is the signature that there are lots of soft mode in the classical system. And indeed, in the simulations, a specific heat indeed approaches 11 by 12. So it just shows you that this entropic effect is responsible for the ordering of the, basically responsible for the numeric ordering transition. And that this numeric ordering transition temperature is rather low. It's only like 1 to 5 times 10 to the minus 3J. So it actually happens at a very low temperature. We didn't find any magnetic ordering in the classical Monte Carlo calculation. And again, you know, you can compute the inverse susceptibility as a function of temperature numerically. Then you find that from the fit, the Q device temperature is 650 Kelvin, so we can deduce the value of the J. J turns out to be about 280 Kelvin, or 300 Kelvin. And according to this, the numeric ordering transition temperature is supposed to be like between 0.3 and 1.4 Kelvin, because we have a hysteresis, so we cannot tell you precisely where the transition is. But it turns out the experimental data actually exists only down to 2 or 3 Kelvin. It's very convenient for theories, but this is basically what happened. Okay, so if you look at the cooperative paramagnetic regime, basically, you know, above the numeric ordering transition temperature, say below Q device temperature, and it turns out that physics is indeed dominated by cooperative paramagnetic behavior in the sense that if you look at the Monte Carlo results of the Heisenberg model in this cooperative paramagnetic regime, then this behavior is exactly the same as the behavior of the large N OM model. What that means is that the details of the model is actually not terribly important as far as you satisfy the constraint that the three spins in each triangle forms total spin zero. As far as that constraint is satisfied, basically the cooperative paramagnetic physics comes about. So in fact, you can easily see that by looking at a spin structure factor. This is static spin structure factor in the HHL plane. So if you look at the Monte Carlo results and the mean field results, you find that they are actually almost identical. What that means is that you are indeed in the cooperative paramagnetic regime. It does. But nonetheless, spin structure factor has this form. The lowest band is flat. Yeah, the same is so. So this structure actually looks almost identical to a paracolaris spin structure factor in the classical regime, in the cooperative paramagnetic regime. But if you look at the details, they're slightly different, but as opposed to the approximation, they are the same. And in fact, as predicted by, as studied by all these people, for the paracolaris lattice, the spin-spin correlation function indeed shows the dipolar structure. But this is what happens in the classical model, and, but you want to know what happens to the quantum regime. So if you really go to T equals zero, then obviously you cannot use the classical model to predict what happens to the system. So so we looked at the quantum Heisenberg model. It turns out that this is a very difficult problem, as you know very well. And we have to use some kind of approximation. So instead of using an SU2 symmetric Heisenberg model, so this is, I'm using so-called the Schrödinger boson representation of the spin. So you can represent the spin operator in terms of bosonic operator. And then you have to impose a constraint. Then the Hamiltonian looks ugly like this. But then it turns out that one useful way of solving this problem is to generalize this Hamiltonian to so-called SPN symmetric Heisenberg model. So it just basically amounts to an increasing number of flavors of bosons from, say, 2 to 2 times n. So the reason why we are doing this is to find the limit where your mean field theory becomes exact. And then you can basically do a controlled perturbation theory around that mean field theory. That's why we are doing this funny business. But at the end of the day, one thing you have to remember is that this is not a physical model. Only in the limit that n equals to 1, you end up with the SU2 symmetric Heisenberg model. So the results of such a model should be taken with some grain of salt. So advantage of studying such a model is that if you go to a large n limit, this is some kind of mean field limit, then if you fix the number of bosons per site, and that basically corresponds to 2 times the spin quantum number S that typically people call kappa. And in this model, the theory is non-perturbative in the coupling constant and spin magnitude. So that's typically not the case, for example, in your usual Hochstein-Primakov like a treatment of the Heisenberg model. There, you explicitly go to the semi-classical limit where you are doing some sort of a 1 over S expansion. This is not an expansion in coupling. This is not an expansion in 1 over S. So in that sense, the result is non-perturbative. So the mean field theory for some spin quantum number S is well controlled. In general, there are 2 kinds of order parameters. One order parameter corresponds to a balance bond singlet between 2 sites. And then there is an order parameter that tells you whether the system is magnetically ordered or not. So typically what happens is that if you go to a large spin limit, large kappa means a large spin limit, you end up with, you are going to a semi-classical limit, so you typically end up with a magnetically ordered state. If you decrease your spin magnitude, you're increasing quantum fluctuations, so you end up with a magnetically disordered state. And there, you can find all sorts of exotic phases. For example, you can find the spin liquid, or you may find the valence bond solid phases, et cetera, et cetera. So, and the theory is well controlled, so you can do a systematic perturbation theory around the large N limit. So, we solved this model. It's actually quite complicated, it turns out, but here is basically the result. It turns out that there is a transition when you change the spin magnitude. So if you go to a semi-classical limit in the large spin limit, so imagine that I have like spin 9.5 on the hypergaugmental lattice, then basically I'm in this regime. then the result has to be that the grounds that turns out to be coplanar magnetically ordered state, and then it actually looks like this. So in each triangle, it has a 180-degree configuration, but the arrangement of spin is actually quite complex. But nonetheless, this is one of those coplanar magnetic state. And if you decrease your spin magnitude so that the spin magnitude becomes smaller and smaller, then at the end of the day, you end up with a spin liquid state. This is one of those G2 variety in the sense that your spin-on, spin half carrying spin-on is coupled to an Eigen-gauge field, but you are in a deconfined phase. And okay, we can explicitly show that this state is indeed apolar degenerate with the periodic boundary condition. But this is one of those examples of topologically ordered spin liquid phase. So, okay, I'll skip that. So then it turns out that if you compute the spin structure factor for such a G2 spin liquid state, this is actually very, very different from the structure factor of the cooperative paramagnet. So for high temperature, you expect to see this. In the low temperature, if this is the ground state, you expect to see this kind of structure factor. And we also did some small size exact analyzation on a unit cell. So it's a very small system size. Remember that there are 12 sites per unit cell. And it's a very difficult thing to do. And we are not even a serious numerics people, as you see. So so it turns out that if you look at the high temperature results of the exact analyzation, indeed, susceptibility and specificity can be fit to the experimental data pretty well. So in that sense, Heisenberg model may be a reasonably good model for this material. Also, J turns out to be around 300 Kelvin. So, you know, it's not terribly, it's pretty consistent. And again, we end up with a small spin gap, but remember that we have basically one or two data points. So we don't know what actually happens in the thermodynamic limit. So I suggest that more serious numerics people will probably look at this. And there are maybe there are alternative approaches. In our approach, it turns out that we can only end up with the gapped spin liquid phase that because of the way that the formulation is set up. But in principle, there's a possibility that the ground state may be a gapless U1 spin liquid with fermionic spin-ons. We are also looking at a projected variation wave function. And also, one should probably seriously think about a possible effect of Jaloczynski-Morera interaction in this system. So in the remaining time, okay. So the summary is that there's a large window of cooperative paramagnet. Classically, we predict that there should be a numeric order transition. In the T goes 0 limit, you should expect to see a G2 spin liquid or maybe a coplanar order. Okay, so let me change the subject. So this is the famous zinc paratachymite, and the kappa 2 plus is supposed to carry a spin half moment. It turns out that depending on zinc concentration, there is a structural distortion in the small zinc concentration. So there is a transition from monoclinic structure to rhombohedral structure. So in the small zinc concentration, basically, you know, this system consists of Gagomel layers. Then basically there is a triangular site. So for example, if x equals 0, say, then the triangular site is also occupied by kappa, and Gagomel site is also occupied by kappa. Then you substitute zinc, and zinc can go to the triangular site and perhaps also go to the Gagomel site. But nonetheless, you can think of this system as a distorted Gagomel lattice coupled by triangular sites. When zinc concentration becomes bigger than this number, then the structure becomes more ideal Gagomel lattice, and hopefully zinc mostly goes to the triangular site. Okay. So a lot of attention is given to the x equal 1 limit. That material is called the Herbert-Smith site. But this is not what I'm going to talk about today, so I'm going to skip this. This is not what I'm going to talk about. Okay. So what I want to talk about is this new experiment done by Seung-Han Lee. Actually, he will give a talk about this in a couple of hours. So this is a suggested phase diagram from the neutron scattering experiment. And this is temperature, and this is the zinc concentration. So x equal 1 corresponds to your favorite Herbert-Smith site, or perhaps spin liquid. But notice that there is two transitions. In the small zinc concentration, there is a valence bond solid order. then in the low temperature phase, there may be a coexisting null order and the valence bond solid order. So our question was, what's the nature of this valence bond solid phase and how can you explain this? So from the neutral scattering, we know what the underlying magnetic order is here, the null order state in the low temperature limit. It turns out that the magnetic order pattern is not a coplanar structure. So it's different from what you may expect from the Kagome lattice. Actually, it turns out that the underlying magnetic ordering is a collinear magnetic order. So if you look at this, for example, there's a U site, V site, and W site. If you look at the V site spins are all down, and W site spins are all up, then U site spins are staggering. So that's basically a collinear order that that was discovered experimentally. And then experimentally suggested that this valence bond solid order may be like this. Okay. So the reason why collinear state becomes the ground state instead of coplanar state turns out to be extremely simple. It turns out that if you look at the structure of the system, then when the gene concentration is small, the bond lengths of this bond and that bond are actually not the same. So the bond length is not exactly the same, but they are pretty close to each other. But then over the lunchtime, Seung-Hwan told me that by looking at the angle through the oxygen, he found that the ratio between J prime and J may be like 0.3. So what that means is that J prime is significantly weaker than J. So basically, you are looking at a distorted Kagome lattice. Okay? So again, if you look at the classical model, to get an idea what kind of magnetic ordering you would expect, indeed, you end up with a collinear magnetic ordering, just like what I described to you, when J prime by J is smaller than 0.5. And if you add some moderate ferromagnetic third neighbor exchange interaction, then this number can even go up to a much larger number. Now, you can also look at the quantum model. It turns out that if you look at the quantum model, remember that 1 over kappa, it's like 1 over the 2 times the magnitude of spin. So if you go up, you're increasing quantum fluctuations. So notice that here is your null order state, the collinear state I was talking about. So you also get this in the quantum calculation. And notice that when I increase quantum fluctuation, this boundary can go up to like 0.8. But at the end of the day, you will destroy this collinear order, and you will end up with some sort of paramagnetic phase. And the question is, what's the nature of this paramagnetic state? So, after doing lots of calculations and analysis, whatever, the answer is as follows. It turns out that the paramagnetic state is a valence bond solid state, just like observed in experiment, but not this kind. Okay? So this is the valence bond solid state that experimentally suggested. So this is what we call a columnar state. It turns out that this is the favored state, and the physics is very simple. If you look at this, then notice that this is what we call a pinwheel state. Notice that this valence bond is around this plaquette, like this one, that one, this one, that one. And you see that you can move your dimer from here to there, and there is some kind of resonance. So by gaining a resonance energy, you can, basically using the dimer kinetic energy, you can stabilize this phase. So quantum fluctuation basically favors this state. So this is basically what you're looking for in experiment. So we can compute the triplon dispersion in both phases in the valence bond state. The dispersion is quite flat in both cases, but nonetheless, there is a small dispersion. And notice that dispersion is quite different. So in principle, if you do a further neutron scattering, you should be able to tell which valence bond state you have in your experimental system. Okay, so here's a summary. So when x is smaller than 0.33, it turns out that underlying lattice is distorted Kagome lattice. And because of that, you end up with a collinear order in the low temperature limit. But nonetheless, the close-by valence bond state turns out to be this, what we call pinwheel state. And hopefully, further neutron scattering can tell that this is indeed the valence bond state. All right, thanks.
Okay, questions and comments.
when you have zinc with X less than one third,
yeah,
you have additional spins between the layers.
That's correct.
What are they doing?
We ignored it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be, eventually it has to be taken into account. But as opposed to the approximation, we ignored it. But remember that our purpose was to basically to find the, you know, the most likely nearby valence bond solid state. And in fact, in the experiment, remember that the low temperature phase is actually has coexisting narrow order state and valence bond state. So, you know, you cannot take our theory literally. Our theory just gives you what may be the most likely valence bond state in this, on this lattice.
I had a couple of questions.
Yeah.
In the first part of the talk, in the hyper Kagome.
Yes.
When you apply a magnetic field, what do you expect will happen to this nematic phase? Will it turn into some order phase, for instance?
Actually, it turns out that you have to apply a pretty strong magnetic field. So we actually did this calculation. It turns out that, you know, only when the magnetic field strength is comparable to J, you have a transition to some sort of plateau state.
Okay.
So for small magnetic field, I expect that that wouldn't destroy the place.
The reason I'm asking is because we're looking at terbium gallium garnet. And that one was, in fact, believed not to order.
I see.
But in fact, it does show ordering below 0.4 Kelvin.
Uh-huh.
But there are some things happening above that.
Uh-huh.
And when you apply a magnetic field, in fact, you see a very small magnetic field, you see multiple phases popping
uh-huh.
up.
Uh-huh.
So another thing I wanted to ask is... let me try again. Is... how can you distinguish this nematic phase from a spin glass phase?
Well, a spin glass phase, you should see a spin freezing or something.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay,
but
so
here, it's not the case.
Right? Okay. All right, thank you.
Yeah. I maybe missed the point. When you spoke about coplanar phase,
yes,
in the first system, do you have in mind the global coplanar phase, or each triangle is 120 degree coplanar, but from triangle to triangle it may vary?
I was thinking about a global coplanar state.
Can you discriminate? Can you tell whether it's indeed this phase is best, or simply it's enough to have coplanar each triangle, but from triangle to triangle may vary?
Well, it just turns out that you get a largest number of soft mode when you have a global coplanar.
Global coplanar. Okay, good.
So that's why this state is chosen entropically. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Yeah, for the hyper-Kagome systems,
yes,
what will happen if you try the quantum version of order by disorder phenomena? Just calculating the zero point energy of the spin wave.
Yeah, actually that's the way that we found this magnetically ordered state. So basically, you know, so I have lots of coplanar order, right? So in the classical limit, they are all degenerate. Okay. Now the only way to distinguish those, you know, theoretically, is to compute zero point energy of all possible coplanar structure. Then basically, you know, we found one that has the lowest zero point energy. I didn't describe all the details, but actually that's what
okay,
it is.
Thank you.
Actually, it turns out that even for the G2 spin liquid state, it turns out that there are 32 possible G2 spin liquid states you can construct. And you have to compute the energy of every single of them. Only then you can tell which one is the ground state. Yeah. So if you look at the experimental paper, they indeed looked at the effects of impurities. So for example, they doped the titanium 4+, right? And they actually found that if you measure susceptibility, and susceptibility can be described as the sum of two contributions. So one contribution comes from basically this spin liquid, cooperative paramagnetic contribution, then there is a contribution, the Curie-like contribution that scales like X. So it looks as if your non-magnetic impedance is generating some local moment, additional local moment. This is what usually happens, at least theoretically, in the spin liquid phase. So that has been observed.
Any more questions, comments?
Maybe I just to add one comment to what Jungbeck just said. The somewhat amusing thing is when they dope with these non-magnetic impurities and get this Curie signal proportional to X, if you look at the amplitude of it, it's as though you get one free spin 1/2 per three non-magnetic impurities.
Yes.
Not one. Tell you something.
I think Leon already has a theory about this.
All right. Let us thank Jungbeck for the nice talk.